B-Pod Studios.
What's up? This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Bagel Awards.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash, this chance.
We're Toucher and Rich, Bankroll Boys. They're brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has thousands of dollars up for grabs this weekend. Download DraftKings now. Use promo code SportsHub during sign-up and play for a chance to win the big prize. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz, they have the Over Under 98.5 podcast, plus they have their own show on Saturday mornings. It is an exciting time to be alive because the Patriots have Cam Newton, and that means line movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And see, Dan's like, meh. But it did move from 8.5 to 9, and then this morning it's back to 8.5, Dan.
So here's how I kind of view it, guys. When Brady signed and left for Tampa, right, the lines were set then. The Pats' win total was 9. Their odds to win the division were, I think, minus 110, the plus 110 in that range. And their Super Bowl odds were about 20 to 1. That was when Brady signed. You assumed that either Stidham or Hoyer was going to be the starting quarterback. Then, obviously, money came in against them, and everyone thinks the Patriots are going to suck because they don't have Brady and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Bagel Awards.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash, this chance.
We're Toucher and Rich, Bankroll Boys. They're brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has thousands of dollars up for grabs this weekend. Download DraftKings now. Use promo code SportsHub during sign-up and play for a chance to win the big prize. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz, they have the Over Under 98.5 podcast, plus they have their own show on Saturday mornings. It is an exciting time to be alive because the Patriots have Cam Newton, and that means line movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And see, Dan's like, meh. But it did move from 8.5 to 9, and then this morning it's back to 8.5, Dan.
So here's how I kind of view it, guys. When Brady signed and left for Tampa, right, the lines were set then. The Pats' win total was 9. Their odds to win the division were, I think, minus 110, the plus 110 in that range. And their Super Bowl odds were about 20 to 1. That was when Brady signed. You assumed that either Stidham or Hoyer was going to be the starting quarterback. Then, obviously, money came in against them, and everyone thinks the Patriots are going to suck because they don't have Brady and, you know, along those lines, I think the Bills are going to win the division. So all the money comes in against the Patriots. Then Cam Newton signs, and the odds just go right back to where they were, you know, when Brady left for Tampa. So, I mean, yes, there's been movement, but the way I look at it is they pretty much see Stidham and Cam Newton evenly.
And there was one interesting odd Dan mentioned about, because there's odds on who will be the starter for the Patriots, which has moved significantly.
A lot.
What did it open up as?
So Newton opened up as the starter around the minus 750 to 800 range. That's down to about 100, minus 130, minus 150 now, depending on your book. What I can tell you about that is that means significant people in the know who have some sort of information, you know, whatever, or believe, you know, to be considered sharp in the community believe that Jarrett Stidham is going to be the starter, not Cam Newton.
No, is that it's just for the first game?
He just has to start the first game.
Good point.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's the first game, but you're not going to, you know, start Jared Stidham game one and go to Cam Newton game two. I mean, I guess you feasibly could, but that seems rather unlikely.
Yeah, and they have to guarantee contracts, too, and it's only a $550,000 guarantee. So, again, they could cut him before the beginning of the year, and it's, you know, he's not good, and they go with Stidham. But I think they're going to go with Newton. One prop bet that I just saw, I thought that was pretty interesting, and I'd like to know what the Hardy book thinks. Passing yards, over under 3,000.5. If you look at Cam Newton's career, every year that he has started, he's thrown for over 3,000 yards. So I'm going to take a shot at going over the 3,000.5 yards. So I'm not sure how the Hardy book feels about that number when it comes to Cam Newton.
Well, seeing as the first time I ever thinking about it, as the Sheik used to say, Fred, do you remember the Sheik who used to be on the Sporting News network there?
No, I don't remember the Sheik.
The Sheik, he was in there with Papa Joe Chevalier and Scotty Farrell.
I just remember the guy who did Faith in Christ Through Sports. That was on right before
Dave
us.
Stein. That's right.
Dave Stein. Yeah, he was amazing.
As of this moment, have no opinion yet on the Cam Newton passing yards prop. But we got to back up for a second, if I may, Bankroll Boys, and if I may address you as a collective, just for time purposes, the prop and the odds of Cam Newton landing with the Patriots. The Patriots were the favorite to get Cam Newton for the last month or two. Is that accurate?
So that's not accurate. They opened right around the draft as the favorite. I think they're in the plus 200 to plus 300-ish range. Over the past few weeks, that has actually extended out to 10-1. I believe the Redskins were favored over them, as were Seattle and I think Baltimore, if I remember correctly. So there were a few other teams that were favored over them to sign Cam Newton. They ended up getting 10-1 in some markets.
Okay, that's, you know what? That suits what I have to ask you even better, because people, you know, love to say Vegas knows something or Vegas knew something when it came to those opening odds or how the odds switched. And it's long been my belief that, like, Vegas doesn't necessarily know anything more than what a lot of people might know or might think.
Spoken like a true square.
They're just making the odds based on what they think is going to bring in the most action and at the end of the day make them the most money. And they looked at a bunch of teams that didn't have an obvious starting quarterback. Okay, what about Green Bay? Nope, they've got Aaron Rodgers. What about the Saints? Nope, they re-signed Drew Brees. Okay, who should we make the favorites? How about a bunch of teams that don't have an obvious, oh yeah, that guy's going to start 16 games for them this season and we'll make them the favorites? And is it that, or did Vegas know something?
Well,
if they knew something, how did the Patriots drop off as the favorite?
I think Dan will look at it as they probably didn't know something, but he cashed at plus 400, said that he'd sign with the Patriots that day. It was plus 400 at some books that it would go there.
So DraftKings was 10-1.
Yeah, which so it depends on the book, Hardy. I the numbers were crazy. And Washington, what people thought he was going to land in Washington because the Ron Rivera connection. But I don't know. I mean, like Deshaun Watson, for example, Dan, is the favorite to be the quarterback of the Patriots next season.
Right.
But he just signed a new tender with Houston. So, like, are they doing that just to try to get early money on that?
So that's okay. So in a situation like Watson, I think that they're just trying to get you excited as a Patriots fan, trying to get you to dump money on something that has no chance, basically hold your money for a year and a half, right? That's basically what they're trying to do there. In regards to the Newton situation, Artie, normally I'd agree with you, but there were people there and a lot of different lines about Newton as the starting quarterback back in April. You wouldn't get a starting quarterback line usually for a team that had no interest in the player and there's no, you know, and they're just putting it out there for fun. Otherwise, I mean, I could make, you know, anyone the starting quarterback of the Patriots and take some action on it. The fact that there were some odds about Cam Newton, I'd argue in this situation, it does feel like there was some information going around. But I feel in general what your general premise already is correct. I just feel in this situation, I think that there was some information on this.
Yeah, yeah. And that's so square after all.
Yeah,
huh,
and to be honest with you, I didn't bet this, but I thought that Cam Newton would end up with the Patriots.
He did. I actually did not, and I told him that. But I will give Joe credit on the Saturday morning show. He said that the Patriots were going to take a chance on Newton, well, and I said no way.
Why didn't you bet it then?
I just didn't. I didn't think it would happen. Like I just again I.
So it, you thought it would?
No.
You thought it would happen, but you didn't think it would happen.
Think it was going to happen.
I thought the odds were good. Like if you're going to take a shot with the Patriots. I just didn't think they'd do it because they were so set on Stidham.
Couldn't pull the trigger. Couldn't pull the trigger.
Pee shy.
Oh boy. All right.
But so, I do think he'll be comeback player of the year though. If healthy, plus $400, comeback player of the year. Book it.
I think it's I mean, the problem was 18-1 the other day. Now it's 4-1.
And then like, Ben Roethlisberger will be a part of that, I'm sure. He'll probably be in that conversation.
Yeah.
All right. Antonio Brown being on a roster in the 2020 season, the odds are a little kooky over there, huh?
It certainly sounds like it's going to happen. I mean, it sounds like there's enough legitimate interest between Tampa Bay. And I mean, I know that there's the report from Diana Rossini and the coach keeps saying they're not interested, but at the end of the day, I don't really believe that. I think that there are some other teams. I know Baltimore has been interested. Russell Wilson's working out with him in Seattle. I think ultimately Antonio Brown is too good of a NFL talent that a team will not be able to say no to him. At some point, I mean, it may not be week one or week two, but, you know, someone goes down during the midseason, they needed someone to come in and, you know, provide them a spark. Antonio Brown, I mean, he might have to serve a suspension, but I think that there's going to be a team that takes a risk on him.
There was a workout video yesterday with Russell Wilson and Antonio Brown together yesterday. The Seattle thing, if I'm going to lean one way, I think it's Seattle.
Is that what the Sharps are saying?
That's what I'm saying. Bob, though, he has the Patriots on the list.
Yeah, he does, which, again, you can say what you want about Incarcerated Bob. His Antonio Brown sources have been spot on. Yeah. And the fact that he has the Patriots on the list again is interesting, to say the least.
So the belief is that they can cut him one year and then bring him back the next.
Yeah, maybe he'll... I don't know. Isn't there still a lawsuit? Well, it's held against their salary cap this year.
Yep.
So, I mean, if they bring him in, it's like you're going to come in for the – it's just like the Cam Newton deal. It's because of the contract for Cam Newton. And that's right. Really what it is. If you can get Antonio Brown at that same money, but I bet you Seattle would probably give him some money. Maybe the Ravens would probably give him some money to go play for them.
I don't know.
That would be the perfect example of Vegas not knowing anything, because unless you can crawl inside that guy's head and figure out what he's going to do, that's a fool's errand. I mean, the biggest question remaining with Antonio Brown is, like, does he even want to play football? Because he hasn't wanted to play football for the last three teams he was supposed to play football for. So what has changed?
But he was the favorite to land with the Patriots when he got let go from the Raiders, so...
All right. Well, okay.
They're not always right, Hardy, but most of the time they are.
Yeah. I mean, don't fade the Sharps. All right. Now, listen, Nathan's hot dog eating contest. So you don't bet on anything. There's no reason to bet on who wins, right?
I'm taking the over.
So I'll say this. And again, I very, very rarely advocate against betting these major odds. So Mickey Sudo, who's the women's, you know, contest, the main competitor, basically, I think it's down to four women now, right? Her main competitor, the only person who's even been remotely close to her, five dogs winning there in the past few years, dropped out. And the other contestants who are in this now have eaten like something like 12 and 13 and 15 hot dogs in the past couple years. Ooh. So it's not even a contest. So the odds were about minus 500 in that range. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, I hit it because, it feels like to me, unless something goes horribly wrong, it's a pretty valuable bet. I mean, you know, it feels like free money.
Now, someone ate 12 hot dogs in 10 minutes? That was a competitive eater?
I mean, I guess I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, but the competitive eaters are like the skateboarding champion. And like, you know, like the guys who were in this contest, they won some other event in order to get into this thing.
This is the gal. So I don't know about it. Honestly, I don't pay enough attention to, you know, I know Joey Chestnut and Nicosito. That's about it. But I mean, outside of that, I don't pay enough attention. But just from, you know.
Bet the over 72.5. Just do it.
Joe, you and I have had a bet that we've made every year on the Super Bowl now for I don't know how many every years, and you've been good enough to make book on my will there be an overtime bet,
mm-hmm.
correct? And correct. I cashed it one time, and it's paid for, you know, all the other years, but there is an overtime eat-off prop for the Nathan's Hot Dog. It is no -2500, yes +800. I'd be willing to make that bet, but you're going to have to give me better odds than that.
Oh, I'll give you 1,000.
10-1 on the will there be a men's or women's?
Ooh.
I mean, the women, I got to be honest with you. If you think the women's contest is going to be an absolute sham.
I'll give you 12-1 odds.
Unfortunately.
Give you 12-1 odds on no.
I'll take it at 15.
How much are you putting down?
We'll keep it friendly. I'll do $10.
All right, done.
Okay.
150 beans.
All right. Men or women?
Men or women overtime. Okay. $150 in your pocket if it happens.
All right. Liv Schatz, it's time to get loose because Rich is down to even with we got to make him some money, but it has to be a truly degenerate special. What do you got?
All right. I got something for you, Fred, because I know you love the truly degenerate stuff. All right. So Saturday morning, aka Friday night, South Korea football kicks off, or South Korea soccer, sorry, apologies, kicks off. We got the Suwon Blue Wings hosting Seoul. Okay, Seoul is the dog here, so I like Seoul in the game, not to win, but I'm going to take the what is literally called the Asian spread. It's called plus 0.25. So that means if they win. Or if they win, you get all your money. If they, you know, tie, you get half your money. And it's literally called, you know, an Asian spread. And I think there's a few other words for it. But that's what it's known as in the community.
I'm not comfortable.
I know. I wish I had another word for it. But so I'm just trying to explain how it works. So you get half your winnings if they tie. And you get full winnings if they win, and if they, you know, if they lose, then you lose. But that's I mean, that would be my play.
Hmm. All right, he will put $200.
And what was that again? I'm sorry.
Seoul plus 0.25.
Seoul plus 0.25.
Right, it'd be like plus a half, except you're cutting that in half. Okay.
All right, Rich will take that. Don't worry about
it. How much?
He's got that $200.
$200.
Yep, okay. He's got that for $200. All right, thank you, Bankroll Boys.
All right, and lots of baseball odds coming up soon, Fred, for you.
All right, so looking forward to that tomorrow at 7.
We're off this week.
Yes. Oh, I guess. All right, because of the holiday, that's I understand. Right. All right, you know what, Hardy?
Mm.
Sometimes, you know, in times of... You know, times of peril, there's this COVID going on, there's this, you got all these protests in the streets, you know, it's a person versus person, we've never been more divided as a country. You know what you have to do sometimes?
You don't have to, and you don't feel like you have to do it because I'm here. In fact, you should feel the exact opposite.
You know, whatever happened to sitting by the creek and just shooting the breeze?
Oh, Jesus, Jones.
Whatever happened to getting out a whittling stick and just you and the family going outside and just whatever happened to conversation?
Something. Okay, if you are painting this in an Andy Griffith type of light out on the front porch after supper, maybe, you know what, maybe you do? Maybe you crack open a bottle of pop. Maybe you walk down to the filling station, get a bottle of pop, bring it back to the porch, and then you just sit down and shoot the breeze?
Any scenario.
Then I'm on board.
You got. If it's small town America.
Yes.
If it's sitting around a Parisian cafe.
Okay.
We're just sitting around and shooting the breeze. 617-779-0985. Just a couple fellas, maybe abroad, I don't know, just sitting around kicking it. Shooting the breeze. Line them up, boys. 617-779-0985. We'll be back. Just maybe you're in a inner tube and you're just floating down a, you know, a nice little river there. Just talking to your friends. 617-779-0985. Watch them light up. We'll be right back.
Kutcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Kutcher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused. Kutcher and Rich. What the hell is going on?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My hey, Tracy, did Mike give you the imaging? I was... Hardy?
Yeah.
Joe?
Oh, boy.
Joe?
Hello.
I was going to say maybe you got up, but then I realized that wasn't the case.
No, we, that doesn't happen. Well, Lifshatz was here, of course, and, you know, we were talking
side bets. You know what I, you know what is a good thing to do?
Oh, I know.
It's communicate with just, we're all just a bunch of atoms and cells, you know, if we're all the same underneath it all. And that's why we created this bit called
Shooting the Breeze. Shooting the Breeze. Shooting the Breeze. Shooting the Breeze.
617-779-0985. You guys,
you can
ready?
Give it any number of names, Fred. I mean, don't be put off by the shooting the breeze moniker. I mean, in some cultures, it's called just having a chin wag. Yeah. Other people,
I would be afraid that would cause that would cause some problems. That
chewing the fat. How about that? You know.
How about you just relax? It's my show, and how about you just relax and let people shoot the breeze?
Maybe have a little fellowship. Is there anything wrong with calling it that? Can we take?
Hey, listen. If you want to go to the spaghetti dinner that Adam 12 relies on to eat, that's fine.
Spilling the tea.
Adam 12, he has quote unquote supper at the church like a hobo.
I don't think that he's having fellowship. That's
no,
what it is.
He's using it to eat. All right. Dan on line three, you're shooting the breeze.
Hey, what's up, boys? Hardy. I'm caught up on Below Deck. I want your opinion of this cute little Kiko chef. And how much of a... Oh, God, I don't know. I guess, can you say the B word on the radio? But the Chiefs do. She comes off as such. She put on a little more weight, and she comes off as so condescending a lot of the times.
Oh, yeah.
And we got Bugs back, and she seems that now she's an expert of plating or setting up tables.
Yes.
All right. You've gone very deep. Very deep into Below Deck. All right,
I will keep it on the surface, so to speak. As opposed to going too deep below deck. Oh, I like this shooting the breeze stuff. Kiko is a Brazilian chef, and he referred to him as cute. Cute doesn't do it justice, Fred. This guy, watch him for 5 minutes. You want to put him on a plate and sop him up with a biscuit. He is adorable. So I'm a big fan of Chef Kiko so far this season. Hannah, she can be a little abrasive. She's busting out of her dress whites last night. But I'd say for the most part, this is a strong to quite strong season. And I'm looking forward to see where they take us next on that luxury yacht. It's it is one of my favorite shows.
A lot of pressure on the captain. A lot of pressure if you're going to get those tips at the end. If you're going to get those tips at the end. 617-779-0985. Neil? On line six?
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, quick question for Fred. How do I become an influencer? I want three easy steps to become an influencer just like yourself.
Ooh. A, make it happen. B, fire in your belly. C, an attitude that says, come on, I'll take you for a ride to success. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Neil. Which
it's shooting the breeze. Shooting the breeze. Shooting the breeze. Shooting the breeze.
Which was spelled N-I-E-L, which I'm not sure if that was how it's supposed to be surprised. Joel, this is what the whole idea of shooting the breeze is. Joel, go ahead.
Morning, Fred. Steak and eggs.
Hey.
Just want to chat it up. No? Grind the old... Spin the old BS right grinder.
What are you doing right
now?
You
know, I got up early. I'm heading to the Catskills. Well, I'm going to be with my in-laws. Nobody likes me there. I'm going to drink all weekend. And before I hit the road, just taking a little time to myself. Put some paint on the boat.
That's the stuff right there. You know, old-fashioned color on the old jib.
So, Fred, is this the quintessential? Is this what you want for a shooting the breeze call? No specific topic or question. Joel's just on the phone just to shoot the breeze.
I mean, yeah,
you know,
I mean,
catching up.
Yeah, yeah, Joel's doing it right. There's, okay. I mean. Right. You know, he's out. He's out. He got up early. He's got to go to the Catskills. He's going to see some funny comedy. There's going to be
old timey.
That's right. You're going to see the
nobody likes me. I'm the joke there.
That's right. Hey. Well, I can relate to that. There is no question about that.
Oh, it's the same boat, Freddie. It's the same boat.
Yes,
the same boat. I'm just praying this place has a basement for me to hide in.
Yeah, well, those days for me are over. I can't even do that anymore. So
shooting the breeze.
Travis, go ahead.
No.
Travis on line
seven. Hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
Do you guys want to hear some fun facts about the 1967 Detroit Tigers?
No, Bob, that's enough. All right, Travis, go ahead as line seven.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Travis.
All right, yeah. You know, I got stepped on by Bob there at the Detroit Tigers. I'm just calling to shoot the breeze with you guys a little bit.
Listen.
Marty, how you been, man? It's Travis. You know, it's from the school your kids used to go to over there in Westy.
Oh, sure. Yeah, what's going on?
How you been? You know, I miss you around the old schoolyard. That's some breeze shooting, I think.
Oh, my God. Hey, how much breeze did we shoot over there, huh?
Oh, man, did we ever, huh?
Shoosh, shoosh.
I hear Hardy's missed in the neighborhood. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Freddie.
Yeah.
Freddie, here's something I did over the pandemic. You're an animal lover, right?
Oh, do I love them.
Oh, man, you know what I did, buddy? I got chickens for the pandemic. Party, I think you moved over. You're kind of closer to me now on this side of the thing. It's a great idea for a big, beautiful backyard like you have over there in Newton or where you're at over there, Hardy.
Yeah.
I need
a little time.
He ain't nowhere near Newton, I can tell you that. But you know what the chickens do is they peck themselves to death.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's right. You gotta build them a big old run. You know, you spend some time out there with your saw and your tape measures. You know,
Fred, could you speak and shoot a little more breeze to the? It sounds like a chicken suicide is what you're talking about. They peck themselves to death.
They will peck each other to death. I know two people that had chickens and it ended up in homicides until nothing.
I'm currently dealing with that right now.
Yeah, well, I guess, best kill them early. Yeah, get that meat. You got to kill him early.
Nah, I'm telling you, Fred, you like it. You go out there. Nobody likes me around here. So I go out there and shoot the breeze with the chickens. Just me and the girls.
You think I have enough yard to have chickens, you got another thing coming. All right, Pete, finally, as we shoot the breeze, what's going on, Pete?
Fred, what is up?
Yo.
Fred, question for you. For your eulogy, who would you rather have read it? Rock and Roll Mike, Guy from Machine, or Pasta Joe?
Oh, Guy from Machine. A million times Guy from Machine. Right. There's the Guy from Machine brings the passion. First of all, I wouldn't trust Rock and Roll Mike in the wherever the hell I was having my eulogy. It ain't going to be in no church, cats. But if I wouldn't trust him because he'd be like a wet cat in there. And then Pasta Joe would just fall asleep to the carbohydrate situation going on with him. So I would definitely go with the Guy from Machine. You know what we just did, Hardy?
We shot the breeze. But can I ask you one question?
But I got to ask you one. I got to ask you one thing. What did we just do? And I'm talking to you in the studio. What did we just do?
He says, "How do you stay so tan?" His kid's asking me.
Shooting the breeze.
Fred, yeah, Hardy, did you enjoy that?
I did. And I want you to reconsider your Rock and Roll Mike eulogy thing. What if Rock and Roll Mike were not only to eulogize you, but also play one of his original compositions?
Oh, yeah. Hot balls. Hot balls.
Belly 21.
Hot balls.
Looking for big fun.
Hot balls.
What's your fantasy?
Hot balls.
Do you want to play with me?
That's not good.
it's something to consider. If you're making requests, pre-death, maybe you want to put Rock and Roll Mike back in the mix.
Rock and Roll Mike lives outside!
Well, yeah, if Rock and Roll Mike would, that's a very interesting take on hot balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, not quite what he's going after.
Hot balls! Hot balls! Hot balls! Hot balls! Hot balls! Oh, yeah!
Well, listen, somewhere Dennis Eckersley is combing his hair and going, all right. All right, so we'll be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom. Tom.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and there's a battle going on. It's going to be who's having more fun, Cam Newton? I mean, there's a debate if they're going to let him do the Superman thing, which the debate has not gone too far or anything. I mean, people really need sports in their lives. That someone saying that the Patriots wouldn't put up with the touchdown celebrations is gotten to this cultural peak is a little silly, in my opinion. But nonetheless, Cam Newton, they're saying Randy Moss is saying that they're going to have more fun. And so GQ when was the last time you bought a GQ? Because I think I'm going to get a subscription because they talked to Tom House, who's the quarterback coach for Tom Brady.
Tom.
Ooh. are you referring to Gentleman's Quarterly, Fred? Is that the publication we're talking about
here? I used to just go there to find a $10,000 pair of pants. But nonetheless, right. Now they have hard hitters like Tom House. And so this is an encapsulation of this. It's on CBS Sports. And it says, you know, Brady, it looked like he didn't care, last year. It says Brady doesn't share his private thoughts open, but he did share them with his throwing coach, Tom House, back in April. After Gronk was traded to the Buccaneers, Brady sent House an interesting text. Quote, I think the most fun text we've had is when Gronk signed, because there's nothing like a fun text, you know. Is there emojis? Is there something where confetti goes up in the air? What's a fun text? I mean, these are fun. Boy,
well,
oh,
that's
boy.
That's how I refer to him. I'm like, hey, honey, and you know, little elbow on the couch. I'm like, look at this fun text I just got. I got a fun text. You know,
Look at the person who couldn't be bothered to call me. Yeah,
I like to send an eggplant, you know, just an eggplant emoji. That's a nice little fun text there.
What does that mean? That means fun. The penis?
That's what it means.
Wow.
Was that why the eggplant was designed, or did someone take that notion and run with it? That's a chicken and egg situation.
I think so. Yep.
All right. And he goes, I think the most fun text I had is when Gronk signed. And House told GQ in a recent interview, Tom texted me and said, football's fun again. Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds like a blast. Can you imagine how bland that guy has to be that you go where you get football's fun again and you're like, yeah, there we go, hot dog. Woo, we're having fun now. Woo.
Well, Tom's been breaking all the rules anyways. He's been running in parks when he shouldn't be. He's out practicing with people when he shouldn't be. Like, he's breaking the law, Fred. He's having fun.
I got to tell you is that it is, he's really going to get himself in some deep yogurt going on here. So he says, football's fun again. And then it goes to the author of this article. We're going to go ahead and let you interpret that however you see fit. Like, I ain't touching this with a 10-foot pole. Is he going to have more fun with Tampa Bay? I don't know. I don't want to touch this text. This is red hot. I don't want to. We'll let you interpret it. Shut up. Let you interpret it. What is there to interpret? He says that he's having fun again. It means he didn't have fun before. What is there to interpret? Inspector Clouseau, we'll let you interpret it. Okay, I'll let a 4-year-old interpret it. More fun.
What he's trying to avoid, Fred, is being the first person to say out loud that Tom Brady maybe was not fully enjoying himself near the end of his time in New England, because nobody has broached that subject up until now. Nobody wants to come out and be the first one to say maybe Tom was all done with being a Patriot and all that entails. He doesn't want to say that.
But if you're a writer, isn't that your responsibility? I mean, to have an opinion and run with it?
Oh, have an original one like that? Yeah, be brave.
You're sitting there and you know they're having fun texts, and it's up to me to interpret. I'm going to interpret that he did not have fun last year and that he's having fun this year and that he likes Rob Gronkowski. He says, we're going to go ahead and let you interpret that however you see fit. Does it mean that Brady didn't have fun in 2019 without Gronk?
Your words, not his.
He's just giving you idea starters. Does it mean that football was never fun for him in New England? Yes, I would imagine he stuck around for 20 years for no money because he hated it here for the entire time. He said, hey, let me sign these contracts for $5. I want to be the 25th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Does it mean he wasn't having fun in Tampa until the Bucs added Gronk? Yikesy. I mean, there's so many angles to look at it. I mean, how long was he on Tampa before they got Gronkowski?
A couple of months.
Yeah, these are all things that you have to be very, very careful before you say them out loud, because no one has said them before and you don't want to be the first and be wrong. You don't want to be wrong on something as important as which team he's having more fun with. That's something that you can never live down if you're wrong about that.
Again, he says, whatever the answer is, we know that Brady is now having fun again on the football field. This is so well written. This is a book report by a kid who didn't read the book. Catcher in the Rye was good at baseball. He liked to play catcher. Whatever the answer is, we know that Brady's now having fun again on the football field based on his text that he had with that guy where he said it. Not only has he been working out with his new teammates, but he's been staying in constant communication with House, who he often who he talks to often despite the pandemic. So despite the pandemic, they talk on the telephone. That's what he says. He says, because despite the pandemic, he's able to do a computer call with them, whatever they're called. We probably communicate at least once a week around what he's doing, House said. Tom has his guy, Alex Guerrero. Everything physical is with Alex. Everything nutritional is with Alex. So Tom doesn't need that from me. All he needs is evaluation of his throwing motion. So there you have it. He sends a video. I pretend like I've never seen him before. He either texts me or leave me a voicemail saying, look, I just filmed about 20 throws. Have a look. Give me a shout if you see anything. Or let's talk this afternoon or tomorrow. And we'll do it. We'll do that. He says, despite the pandemic, they're able to talk on the phone. It's really something else.
Oh, I don't understand. Are telephones working? Are the phones back up? How do they do that?
Despite
how do they
the pandemic,
pull that off?
They're able to talk on the phone and send each other videos. Wow.
That's a privilege for you.
Something needs to start again. Because this is, first off, you're talking to the QB guru for Tom Brady. He's also with Drew Brees. But if you're talking to the QB guru with Tom Brady, that's exciting stuff. And then if you're disseminating a text where he says football's fun again and saying, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but is football fun again? Then you really have some time. Okay. What was that again? Right. I think that's Tom Brady in ecstasy when Alex Guerrero's working on him.
That's my favorite. That's it.
That's the good one. That's where he's really letting his hamstring have it. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments. And at 8 o'clock, Hardy needs me to help him with something. We'll get into that.
Mm. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich. Put your dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Now, there was an argument in the house yesterday. I took the children swimming. And even though it was cold, I bared the water, and I did indeed swim in the evening. And then I came home, and there was debate if I had to shower. My contention was, because the kids, when I'm broadcasting from home, which I'm doing because I am, again, in quarantine, which will make a month of quarantine when this is all done, I sleep upstairs where I broadcast from because my son's room is right underneath mine and I wake him up. So he sleeps with my wife in that room, which will lead to no kind of problems later. And I contended that I don't need to shower because I will be going to the pool again today and I am sleeping in a bed with no one else. Hmm. That is the correct thing, correct?
Okay, so you were in the pool last night.
Yes.
You came home. Went to bed, essentially.
Yes.
Woke up this morning. They're debating whether you need to shower before you go to the pool again.
No, I didn't shower yesterday. After being in the pool.
Well, you have chlorine body.
So what? I have come around on this only in the pre-shower thing. Now, if you are being a conscientious pool or spa user, yes, you should shower before entering. But at like a big pool where there's a lot of people, are you talking about like
I'm talking about post pool.
Oh, so, I don't shower after going in the pool. No.
Yes. And so you'll go to bed without showering.
Yes.
Yes. That's what I said. That's absolutely true. Now, do you shower in the morning?
Almost every day. Yeah.
See, I never shower in the morning.
I'm a night shower, too.
Yeah, you can't do it on a morning show. Wallach and Rich do. But why would you get up 15 minutes earlier to shower when all you're seeing is just each other?
Well, I've heard Rich say it's to wake up. And it's, you know, it's whatever. It's like his you know, brain telling him, okay, you're waking up now and, you take a shower and it's part of, like, the whole process. I think it's as much as anything. But, no, I mean, for hygiene purposes, it's not like you're riding your bike to work and you have to, you're sweating and doing all this stuff and you know, shower. No, it's not for that. I think for Rich, it's just to like wake up and feel like, okay, I'm ready to start the day now.
Now, there are people that showered at the old station because I think there's a shower at this station too.
There are people who shower at the new station. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
Why?
I know one person who does it because they come in super early to beat the traffic, and then they just shower and prepare for their day here. There are lockers at the news station, and they keep, like, toiletries and bring clothes in, and they leave the house super early, come in, shower at work, and then do their work day there.
Is it an on-air personality?
It is not.
My goodness.
Yes.
So to beat you know what you have to do if beating traffic means that much to you, you got to move. I mean, move into a hovel. I mean, is it really worth that? Is it really worth getting up that early and showering at work?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. But he's got like four kids and he's, you know, got a house and that's where they live. And that's, you know, he's coming in early to beat the traffic and, you know, he's showered and he doesn't have to, you know, stress about getting to work on time because he's there before anyone else, and he just gets ready there.
Now, does he get to leave earlier?
I mean, it's a sales guy, so are their hours really strict to begin with? So,
oh, is it? Does he go by two initials?
No. It's not. It's Moscatel. Moscatel showers at work.
Ew! He doesn't even get in that early.
Oh,
JT is here 45 minutes to an hour before anyone else.
And he looks sharp, too.
Oh, yeah, he's dressed to the nines. You know he's friends with Milan Lucic?
He's put together all right.
Yeah, just talk to him for 5 seconds and you'll hear that he's friends with Milan Lucic.
You're saying you don't have to ask him?
Well, it's like if you ask one guy at our station if he's ran a marathon. No need to ask. He's going to come right out and say it.
Did you ever have you ever used a shower in the workplace, this building, the other building, any place you've ever worked?
Oh, yeah, every day. No. If I saw someone using the shower, I would assume that they were not allowed home.
I have, but what about shaving at work? Have you ever shaved at work before?
I've never had a job where I had to shave. I've never had a job where I've had to do any of this kind of crap.
Hold on a second. Tracy? What did you just say?
I have showered here a few times. That's not bad.
You have to wear like, I mean, what do you have to put in your feet? Do you have to wrap them in?
No, I mean, flip-flops.
Like, I would wear wellies.
Yeah, I mean, women are probably, the women's shower is probably a little bit more clean than the men's.
Yeah, because everything, it's just disgusting with men. Unless you belong to, like, some really, really high-end health club. Like, we've talked about this before. Like, the Y used to have this leather couch with a TV in front of it. And this Y is super old. Like, you know, it might be 100 years old. And dudes would just, like, old dudes would just sit on the couch naked. And if you times that by 100 years.
That's hot.
I mean, that's absolutely disgusting. And if you're cleaning up the place, do you think you could wipe down the couch, the leather couch?
No.
There's no way.
See, Tracy.
What's my incentive?
Okay, Tracy. I know why Tracy is showered at work.
Because she has two jobs.
Well, not only that.
No,
but
that is not why.
She'll show up like early for work, and then like for fun, she'll go out on like a 10-mile run, and then she'll come in and like shower before she starts working, or something along those timelines. And so I kind of get it, but I still don't. I would rather sit in my own sweat and filth than to use the shower at work.
Yeah, Tracy also isn't so. She doesn't have to like dress up or anything. Scott on line one, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I literally have people who clip their fingernails at their desk.
You should go to human resources. I have to run away.
I literally get up and nobody says anything to them.
Oh, you got to say something. You got to say that's enough. I was at something the other day and someone was tugging like on their cuticles. This like tugging on him and stuff, and I go, just you gotta stop doing that. Like, you gotta stop. It was going on for like 20 minutes, and he was right next to me, and I'm like, you gotta stop that. I mean, and I didn't even know the guy. I'm like, you gotta stop.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.